To generalize, the goal of a romantic relationship is to establish a secure, feel-good partnership with someone who is compatible. But there are some behaviors that make this virtually impossible. Today, let's take a look at the worst, unfortunately common behavior that women have in romantic relationships. In today's world, the process of socialization in childhood is not exactly the same for girls as it is for boys. In the process of socialization, both boys and girls learn about people in general, and also themselves, in terms of what is bad, wrong, and unacceptable, and to the opposite, good, and positive, and acceptable, and all those good things. They learn that in order to stay safe in the social group and get their needs met, they must alienate themselves from and hide those aspects that are not great. To the opposite, they must identify with and put forward whatever is seen as right, good, acceptable, desirable, and lovable. Well, as it just so happens, in most societies, what is seen as right, good, acceptable, desired, and lovable in a girl slash woman is different from what is seen as right, good, acceptable, desirable, and lovable in a boy slash man. Different things are expected from boys and men than are expected from girls and women. Gender bias studies prove again and again that gender bias is an absolute reality of our world. To give you an idea of what I mean, many societies today value things like strength and bravery and task orientation and activeness and confidence and success drive and independence and assertiveness and competence and intelligence in males. On the other hand, many societies today value things like nurturing, supportiveness, sensitivity, passiveness, beauty, and kindness in females. On top of this, within global society, for thousands of years, most human societies have been patriarchal. What did this mean? It meant that men held all the power and women were treated as property. Now, just to scare you a little bit, even in the United States, it was only in 1974 that a woman could have access to credit without a man, such as a husband, father, or brother co-signing on a loan or a credit card. Why should this scare you? Because it's not really a thing of the past. Many of you watching this were already born when that happened. Some societies are very gradually transitioning out of this, but a society does not transition like this overnight. This means female disadvantage and female powerlessness is not actually a thing of the past. And most societies still expect girls to be oriented towards others and to be serving what other people want to need rather than themselves and what they want to need. Why all of this is important is because this cocktail of social realities makes it so that girls often find themselves in societies that oppose who they naturally are and what they really want. Girls face negative consequences for going directly for what they want and need, as well as for the various list of character traits that enable a person to do so. All of this makes it very hard for a girl to take ownership over her life. So, a girl very quickly has to find a way to get control over her life and get what she wants and needs, but without going directly for it, and without displaying any of the character traits that would be considered undesirable. And the way they do this is by manipulating. Girls employ creative ways of influencing and controlling other people's behavior and actions, especially those who they believe have more power than they do. They take to behaviors and strategies which are designed to elicit a wanted thing from others, such as whoever they're in a romantic relationship with. And this becomes a chronic behavior all the way up into their adulthood. As a result, the worst habit that women have when it comes to romantic relationships is manipulation of their partner. And the biggest problem of all is that most women don't even see that they are doing that. They don't see what they're doing as manipulation. In other words, they aren't even aware they are manipulating. The thing is, there is no possible way for a relationship to actually be healthy when manipulation is going on for several reasons. Let me share some of these reasons with you. 1. The decision to manipulate someone, whether it is subconscious or conscious, is a decision to gain power over them. When power disparity is unilaterally forced like this, it means that you are not seeing your partner as an ally in life or as an ally regarding the bringing about of what you want and need. In fact, you're seeing them as an enemy in terms of your life and an oppositional force to bringing about what you want and need. This is the opposite of a working relationship. 2, manipulation is not done with the best interests of the person being manipulated in mind. When someone manipulates, they only have one thing in mind, their own wants and needs, no matter the negative impact on anyone else. And this is a recipe for relationship disaster. Why? Because it destroys trust. Manipulation destroys trust in a relationship, which is the most sacred element of a relationship. And when the manipulation is seen, not only does this immediately cause distrust, it immediately leads to the person who is being manipulated feeling unfairly treated and really, really resentful. Resentment acts like an acid in a relationship. 3. The many tactics of manipulation, such as using a person's insecurities against them or for your benefit, using someone's needs against them, deception, fake friendliness, insincere flattery, guilting, inauthenticity, lying, strategically giving and withholding a person's needs, strategic niceness, false promises, feigning ignorance, playing weak or helpless, bullying, temper tantrums, veiled threats, playing mind games, passive aggression, silent treatment, gaslighting, love bombing, denial, blackmailing, putting people in terrible lose-lose scenarios, etc. They're abusive. They do damage to others, which is not a recipe for a healthy relationship. 4. When someone manipulates chronically, it is usually because they were raised in a highly competitive environment in which people, and when I say people, I want you to think family members, classmates, coworkers, social groups, anything. They competed for things like power, resources, advantage, and influence. And in that environment, they felt a lack of direct power and control over their situation because they felt this sense of being at the disadvantage, being powerless, being inadequate, maybe lacking what they want and need. They resort to indirect, underhanded strategies to attain what they want and need. When manipulation is employed, it not only keeps you stuck in this worldview of negative competition, including with your own partner, it prevents you from actually seeing the power you do have in a situation and from actualizing your own genuine empowerment. It's very dangerous not to see the power that you do have. So all of this basically keeps you trapped in a position of having to get what you want and need through others and against their will. And also keeps you in a position where because you don't see your power that you actually do have in a situation, you don't see how you can harm someone. 5. While the most skilled manipulators are able to manipulate someone without them even realizing that they're being manipulated, at some level, most people can feel when they're being manipulated. Most people can feel when someone else is trying to control them, and at the very least, they can feel that something is off. Right? And this creates a negative emotional tone in a relationship. It invites all kinds of protest behaviors and causes a cascade of conflict. 6. Manipulation causes an overall lack of emotional safety in a relationship. It is a recipe for an insecure relationship. This, of course, goes hand in hand with the fact that manipulation destroys trust. For a relationship to work, the other person needs to be a place of safety and security for you. When a person manipulates, what they've demonstrated is that they cannot be considered safe or secure. They have demonstrated that they are, in fact, emotionally unsafe. Meet Megan. Megan is in a relationship with Noah. Megan comes from a background in a Southern Baptist family. She is not an easygoing woman, even though she knows that being easygoing is what is absolutely expected of her. Noah has recently decided that he needs to switch to a different medical college. This would mean moving, and not just anywhere. It would mean moving back home, back to the town where Noah's mother currently still lives. Megan does not want this to happen, but she is convinced that if she is honest and direct about the fact that she does not like his mother and abhors the idea of living near her, and also that she can't manage a long-distance relationship, that Noah will simply end the relationship. So Megan is convinced she has to find an indirect way of getting what she wants, which is for Noah to change his mind. Megan decides upon several different methods of achieving this aim. The first method is to send him articles about the downsides of living in the city that he wants to move to, and feigning fear about the things written in the article. She doesn't really fear those things. The second method is coming up with excuses for why she can't move for a while. Her personal favorite is a friend who's going through cancer. She then loves to double it up by guilting Noah for his willingness to simply abandon their friend in a time of need. The third method is to triangulate Noah against his mother. How does she do this? Well, Megan knows that Noah does not like how suffocating his mother can be. She calls him several times a day and loves to tell him what he should and should not be doing. So, Megan decides to fan the flames of discord between them. When she sees any sign of frustration in Noah after a phone call with his mom, she jumps in to not only validate his frustration and try to help remedy the situation, but to increase that frustration. She says things like, "Babe, it's so sad to see that your mom doesn't see that you're a man. It must be so hard to feel disrespected by someone who you love so much." And, "What do you think your mom would have you do if she could have everything her way? I think she would have you move in with her, and for you to be kind of like a husband." "Oh my gosh, what if your mom's never okay with anyone you marry, because she wants you to herself?" Despite it not actually being the case, Megan is careful to frame everything that Noah's mother does through the lens of her controlling him, disrespecting him, and also trying to get between them. After all, she knows these are triggers for Noah. Guess what? The tactic works. One day, Noah says, "God, I'm really starting to rethink this whole thing about moving back home." Megan jumps on the opportunity to support this new idea not to move, showering him with nurturing physical affection while she does it. Noah feels a newfound sense of resolve not to go, all the while feeling a sick feeling in his stomach that he can't quite understand about Megan. He dismisses the feeling, though. Why? Well, Megan's so obviously supportive of him and his own masculinity, unlike his mom. Manipulation is a way of indirectly meeting your needs. It is as simple as that. So the way to break the habit of manipulating is to be upfront and to go directly for what you want and need. Yes, doing this is going to bring you face to face with everything that caused you to start manipulating instead in the first place. Things like your personal sense of inadequacy and the belief that no one actually cares about what you want and need enough to be an advocate for those things. And the fear of being seen as a totally bad person. We all know what it is to run into the bad woman construct. But facing and resolving these things will drastically transform your life for the better. Not only that, it will make a healthy, mutually feel-good relationship possible. Have a good week.